So I'm now going to give a talk about forgiveness, and that's something that is quite difficult for a lot of us to understand how we forgive other people. And this talk is about what forgiveness is, but also perhaps particularly what it isn't. I think that often we get forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness, confused in our heads. Next slide, please, Elizabeth. So there's this in the Lord's Prayer that we just said. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that is the prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples to say. So this is part of our series. But it's very much a very difficult sentence that we say perhaps very easily, but it means a whole lot of stuff. So recently, my son Tom sent me a podcast about forgiveness, and it was about an hour and a half long, and it spoke a lot about forgiveness, and it was quite interesting that he should send me that, and I kind of replied to him and sent him some of my thoughts about what forgiveness meant. And one of the greatest qualities in a Christian is the capacity to forgive. That's not to say that it's easy. Definitely, most of the time it isn't easy, and not necessarily can be done immediately. We maybe all of us have stories about the difficulty of forgiving someone who's wronged us, particularly if they have no idea that they have hurt us or are indifferent to it, or perhaps even enjoy the fact that they hurt us. As we go over in our minds about the small things that have challenged our sense of forgiveness, we are dwarfed by the issues that we hear that others face. Just think back to the troubles in Northern Ireland, and there was this guy called Gordon Wilson whose granddaughter was killed by a terrorist bomb. And he, when he just was there with her as she died, he said that he forgave the terrorists who laid that bomb. Corrie ten Boom, who we're going to hear about very shortly, and we've heard a little bit about previously, and Desmond Tutu, who brought about the Truth and Reconciliation Committee in post-apartheid South Africa. Brave people making huge stands, all of them Christians. So before we talk more about this, we're reminded that we're to ask God to forgive our sins. Forgive us our sins. That's the first bit of that sentence. Before we pray this petition, we must therefore have a sense of sin. If we don't feel that we're sinful, if we feel that we're perfect, then what's the need of saying those words? Now, many of us probably would resent being called a sinner, maybe if we think of it as being a drunk, an adulterer, or a thief. But Jesus uses the Greek word here, which means a debt, a failure to pay what is due. So the question for us is, have we perfectly fulfilled our debt to God and to others? Of course not. We fail in so many ways, don't we? I think everybody has to accept that. And so we're to ask God for forgiveness, just like an arrow. I remember dear Derek, many years ago, it's one of my stand-up memories of Rington Chapel, strangely, bringing a very large kind of archer's bow and talking about it while constructing this bow and arrow, and me thinking, you know, is he going to fire it at some point? And talking about how in the Old Testament it talks about the arrow falling short, and that means to sin, to fall short, and that's what we do. So we're to ask God for forgiveness in many ways and on many occasions that we fall short. But now we reach the scary part. So what this in effect says is, forgive us our sins in proportion to how we forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our sins in proportion to how we forgive those who have sinned against us. And we know, don't we, that this is the only petition in the Lord's Prayer with a clause attached. It doesn't say, give us this day our daily bread if we work for it. It's just, give us this day our daily bread. So why is God's forgiveness made on condition and in proportion to our forgiving others? Why, if we refuse to forgive others, will God refuse to forgive us, according to Jesus? Next slide, please. So we may struggle I'm sure that many of us have heard or even said the words, I will never forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. So being a Christian is hard work. Next slide, please. This is from a quote from Nelson Mandela. Resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. And that's the same. If we cannot remain obdurate in our sense of victimhood and proudly denounce our fellow human, human forgiveness and divine forgiveness are inextricably entwined. So now we've got a short video clip, which is Corrie ten Boom talking about her experience. Now, just a bit of background on this. Corrie ten Boom was born in the Netherlands, and she sheltered Jews during World War II. She was caught, and her and her sister went to a concentration camp. Her sister died. She managed to survive and came out, and she started to talk about her experiences at public meetings, and then this is what happened. Thank you, Elizabeth.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin, and there came a man to me and said, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian, I have found the Lord Jesus, I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew, I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
So there are Christians who struggle to forgive, but there are many believers who find the supernatural ability to forgive. There's a story you may have heard of somebody called David, who was stabbed by a person called Dione in Southwark, South London, in June 2008. And he made one stabbing and it killed David. He died 3 weeks later, and he was a devout Christian. So Dione was sentenced to a minimum 12 years, and David's mother, Grace, recently had travelled to Bristol to see him in the prison chapel. He was very emotional and upset. He was crying. She says, I could tell instantly he regretted doing what he did, and not just because he was in prison. I asked him if he knew David, and he said he didn't. So I asked him why he had done what he had done. He said he was out with a group of friends from his school. One recognised David as being from a rival school. He said that that was why he did it. He had fallen in with the wrong people, and he asked me to forgive him. She says, for me, forgiveness is part of my faith and is unconditional. It wasn't really difficult for me. But many people get forgiveness wrong. They think it means having to take on board things that they couldn't possibly accept. So this is a list of what forgiveness doesn't necessarily entail. So first of all, Forgiveness doesn't approve or diminish wrongdoing. If you have been wronged, if someone has taken advantage of you, then that is wrong. Forgiveness does not approve or diminish wrongdoing. And then secondly, forgiveness does not enable wrongdoing. So if we don't actually work towards confrontation and forgiveness, then we help prolong the abuse. It needs confronting. It needs dealing with. Forgiveness is not enabling wrongdoing. Thirdly, forgiveness is not denying a wrongdoing. You can't say, well, it didn't happen. I forgot all about it. It was only a triviality. I just moved on. I pretend like it never happened. I didn't let it affect me. That's not true. It's not the denial of a wrongdoing. Forgiveness is not denying that you were sinned against. And then fourthly, forgiveness, I'm afraid, is not waiting until you get an apology. Some people will say, well, I'll forgive them as soon as they say they're sorry. Some people are just never going to apologise, either because they don't care or they haven't realised their offence. So forgiveness is not waiting until you get an apology. And then fifthly, forgiveness is not forgetting. This is one of the great Christian myths. Well, we forgive and forget, people say. Well, no, we don't. You can't forgive and forget. You can't forget it. You can't forget it. It's impossible. I have lovely people coming regularly to see me who are still experiencing pain many years after the event. Sometimes 70 or 80 years after the event, they're still experiencing the pain. And then sixthly, forgiveness is not ceasing to feel the pain. Just because it hurts doesn't mean that you failed to forgive. It still hurts. Some people have had horrible things done to them. Horrible things. It'd be so cruel to say, well, if you've forgiven them, it shouldn't hurt anymore. Well, it does. And then seventhly, forgiveness is not a one-time event. You know, one of the disciples went up to Jesus and he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Is it seven times? That seemed amazing. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Endlessly. It's not like you forgive somebody and it's over. Sometimes they keep sinning, so you need to keep forgiving. Sometimes you forgive them, but then there are emotional moments when it just comes out afresh. And then eighthly, forgiveness is not neglecting justice. You can forgive somebody and you can still call the police and have them arrested. You can forgive somebody and you testify against them in court. They might say to you, I thought you forgave me. But they've committed a crime. They've broken the law. And so there are consequences to that breaking of the law. And then ninthly, forgiveness is not trusting. Just because you say that you've forgiven somebody doesn't mean that you trust them fully like you did before once again. Trust is built slowly. It's lost very quickly. Trust may take a long time to be restored. It may never be restored because that person continues to be untrustworthy. And then tenthly, forgiveness is not reconciliation. It's not that you're friends and everything is okay afterwards, that you're close and everything's back to normal. It takes one person to repent. It takes one person to forgive. It takes two people to reconcile. So, how do we exhibit Christian forgiveness in our lives? Well, I think of three things that are absolutely vital in this process. Firstly, we have to learn to understand. We must seek actively to find out about those who cause us harm. Are they worried? Are they in pain? Are they victims themselves? Or perhaps they find it hard to get on with others generally? We should seek to understand before we allow ourselves to condemn. And then secondly, we must learn to move on, to be the bigger person, to recognise the supreme call to forgive on our lives. Being a Christian can be very hard work. Thirdly, we must learn to love. True Christian love seeks only the highest good for others, no matter what they do or say to us. I was speaking to somebody just a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying what struggles they had with a particular person and how they really continued to cause them hurt. And I said to them, just commit that person in prayer. Go to God every day and pray for that person and see how that changes things. See how that changes you and how it changes the other person. Next slide, please. So forgiveness isn't something necessarily that we do for others. We do it so that we can get well and we can move on, that we're not driven down into bitterness and victimhood. You may say to yourself, yes, I know that this is all true and I've heard it all before, but it won't stop my feelings. And I was so wounded by this person, and it's so unfair if they're allowed to get away with it. We are back at this prayer with a clause attached. Was it fair that Corrie ten Boom forgave her persecutor? To start with, we must know that this is a command. This is from Jesus Christ, the one whom we owe everything to, the one to whom we have professed lifelong obedience, the one who said when he was dying on the cross, "Father, forgive them." Next slide, please. And the next one, please. So Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." We begin there with the understanding of where we must get to. As always, Jesus is our supreme model, the one that we seek to be like. Well, how do we get there? Firstly, obviously, as always, in prayer. Prayer for the one who has perpetrated the act, prayer for strength to forgive, prayer for God to intervene, prayer for God to give us deeper understanding of that person, prayer to help us to love them, prayer for a solution. We cannot demand justice from the God who was killed in innocence. We cannot think that we are more important than the Son of God who willingly accepted injustice in order to see God glorified. And just like the death of Jesus on the cross, we do not know how God will use what we have been through to bring glory to him and to enable the spread of the gospel. We are called to be like Jesus and to forgive as he forgave. We are called to ask God for supernatural power to forgive when it is not humanly possible. And just to end with, we've got a couple of quotes from Corrie ten Boom, who was on that video. She says, "Forgiveness is an act of the will and can function regardless of the temperature of the human heart." So firstly, we are to determine that we need to forgive. And then everything else gradually can be over a period of weeks, months, years, decades even. That begins to change our thoughts and our ideas. And next one, please, Elizabeth. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. What alternative is there than to forgive? If we don't forgive, we seek revenge. How does revenge work? Well, revenge means that the other person then comes looking for you or for another person in your family. It just goes on and on, rolls on forever. If we don't seek forgiveness, then we get caught up in bitterness and we get caught up in victimhood and we diminish ourselves. Our soul shrivels within us because we are caught up in this sense of bitterness. So it's absolutely essential that we forgive, and God has given us the strength to forgive. Amen. We're going to sing now a reflective song, so maybe if everybody can remain seated, and it's called "God Forgave My Sin in Jesus' Name." I'm not sure, I know some of us will know it, I'm not sure exactly how many, but it may be familiar to some.